Are you ready to get out of your head and into the heart? Into the heart space, an intentional space for deep diving, heartfelt conversations, spiritual discussion, and conscious raising content. I'm Kelly Keefe, and I'm so grateful to be here creating with you all. So let's get cozy into our hearts and rise together once again. So super excited to dive in with you today. Today we have Meg Dwyer. She is a certified herbalist and an applied clinical nutritionalist through the Texas Chiropractic College. She has a wide background in many wellness modalities, including Ayurvedic lifestyle counseling, massage therapy, detoxification coaching, colon hydrotherapy, plant-based raw vegan nutrition, Reiki, energy healing, pranic healing, Vedic astrology studies, and yogic studies. It goes on and on. She is incredible, action-packed, and energetic-packed being. She has studied with incredible teachers for conscious language, sacred body translation, spiritual healing, shamanic healing, sacred relationships, and transformational facilitation. As you can tell, she's always learning, and she's currently enrolled in an Ayurvedic postpartum doula training, helping mamas in their first 42 days postpartum for self-care and healing. Wow. I'm curious, how does it feel to hear that, like, read back to you, the level of devotion and training you've done?
Kind of like when you say it like that, it sounds so quite interesting. And at the same time, like, I'm such a curious person, as I feel we both are, and just love diving in to all of these modalities and more become shown to me as the life goes on.
So we met, you know, through the sisterhood circle, like 2 months ago, a month ago. Feels like so much life.
And at the cacao shop.
Yes. So today I know we're going to focus primarily on Vedic astrology.
Yes.
Because we've been kind of going deep on that. I loved my time with you with that. At large, and we can focus in on that if you want, or take us through the how did the path find you and this journey unfold for you?
Great question. Yeah. I mean, Vedic astrology has become one of my favorite things right now. But I really think about when I was about 21 or 22, I went through a pretty big spiritual change. Went from drinking, drugs, and all those sorts of things to finding yoga, raw food, and detoxification. Totally went on a different path. And at some point in that journey, I discovered Ayurveda, which essentially is the science of India, or the science of life. And I was introduced to that through a dear friend and started studying that more and more. And through that, you're learning different doshas, you're learning different medicines, different herbs. One of the offshoots of that is yoga, and one of the offshoots of that is Vedic astrology. And so I started studying yoga, kundalini, trauma-informed hatha-based yoga, and then found Vedic astrology. So that was at a very interesting time in my life. I was having a difficult time, really a very transformative time is how I'd say that. I had done kundalini yoga, and my teacher at the time, this was in 2012, he had studied Vedic astrology since the 70s and lived in an ashram with Yogi Bhajan. His name is Matab. And anyway, I was always so fascinated when he would talk about Vedic astrology and the stars, but it didn't really hit or sit with me 100% yet. It was more of like planting the seed for the future to come. So then I'm about 30 years old, Saturn return. We can talk more about what that means, basically, but big life change time and big transformational time. And I was just like, what is going on with my life? I don't understand. And I was working with a woman who was a student at AOMA, which is an acupuncture school here. And she had been studying Vedic astrology for several years and started interpreting my chart and was like, you have this going on and this going on and this aspect happening. And I was enthralled because everything she said was so accurate. And it helped to give meaning and understanding to the things that were occurring in my life and helped me to have patience and more presence with it and realize that there was a bigger purpose. And so then I started learning more on my own. Then I started doing classes with Mahtab. He has a couple of really great introductory classes, as well as tying it into yoga, how that applies. And then I started mentoring with a man. He's an acupuncturist, and before every session, he runs a person's chart, and specifically their Vedic astrology. He's also a Western astrologer, so he ties that in, and there's a difference there. But yeah, I just started diving in, then doing readings for friends, and just more and more. I have a group that I connect with almost every day to talk about the stars or ask questions, or especially, yes, it's like a consistent study group. So, yeah.
I love it. It's wild, like the path. I always say the path, like I didn't choose the path, path chose me, you know, and
Totally.
how we just kind of get thrown into it and at
Yes.
this time,
And
but
the
like so
right
much
medicine.
changing. Totally. Like, so I remember a little bit, but tell me again as if I know I don't remember any of it. Not that I listened back to the recording from our session like four times immediately to keep getting the transmission. What's the difference between Vedic and Western astrology?
Totally. Yeah. So the most simple way that I've heard it explained to me, and kind of how I explain it, is that at one time, Western astrology and Vedic astrology were at the same point in the sky. So we can say something like 3,600 years ago, they were at the same point in the sky about that time. So now, Western astrology, it makes the start of the new year the spring equinox. And so that's when the new year begins for Western astrologers. So, because of the passage of time, and because time is not consistent in a calendar year, it has shifted apart 30 degrees. Vedic astrology has always stayed to that fixed area, so they call it fixed stars, and Western astrology has progressed 30 degrees. And so, for example, where Aries is in the sky, according to Western astrology, is actually not exactly where Aries is in the sky anymore. It shifted about 30 degrees. So, for Westerners, when they get their Vedic astrology chart, it can be a little bit like, wait, I grew up as a Gemini my whole life. Now I'm a different sign. How is that possible? And so some people have a little bit of an identity crisis. However, we marry the two. So again, I think about Vedic astrology as a little bit more traditional. You know, it's stayed in that same point in the sky. We think about the Vedas, or these like ancient scriptures of what kind of guides that path, that medicine. So I think about it a lot as the soul journey. And then Western astrology, because it's progressed, it's kind of like the Western world, which progresses with the times, changes as things go on. And we can definitely marry these two lineages. They're both appropriate in different areas. Vedic astrology, definitely in India, is for when you're going to get married, changing a job, you know, looking at some of these, like conception time, birth time, looking at some of these predictive measures. It's very much used for that.
Got it. And so about 30 degrees. Like,
Yes.
what's the significance of degrees? I know, like, even in
Yep.
Western astrology, we'll look at it and be like, oh, Mercury's in Libra at 16 degrees. Like,
Totally.
what's the degree?
Great question, actually. I really think about the degrees as how far into the sign it is, so it can show a certain level of maturity. For me, how that applies is, this is a little more specific, but in Vedic astrology, we have 12 zodiac signs. Then we also have something called nakshatras, or lunar mansions. So they basically take that zodiac sign, and it puts it into smaller parts that makes it more specific. So, for example, someone born in early Libra is going to have a different flavor than someone born in later Libra, if you can think about that. And the degrees can also indicate the lunar mansion it is in. So it specifies that area of the chart. And we also think a lot about maturity. So if it's further into the degrees, it has a little bit more of a maturity. Sometimes, let's say the sun is at 0 degrees Sagittarius, it means that it just went through from Scorpio to Sagittarius, and it can be on the cusp. So sometimes that could even indicate either like someone having a little bit of flavor of Scorpio, or there's like a little bit of a transition point. Now, this is another kind of advanced little point here, but there's something called Agandanta, which is essentially going from a water sign like Scorpio into a fire sign like Sagittarius. And if you think about that, if you're going from water to fire, you have to heat up to do that. So the degrees can tell us if someone's in that Gandanta point, which can be a little bit of a struggle. But all of this is like the idea is that we put these things in our chart. The idea is that we are born and we choose our chart. That idea of that we choose our parents, we choose what the sky is like and our soul mission when we're born. It's like the map that guides us.
But quite literally, like written in the stars.
Yep, 100%.
So how, like, is there a reading of the collective that we're moving through? Like, how do we use this at a macro and a micro?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yeah, there's a couple of ways that people tend to do that. I mean, some people will even read it for the United States. You know, they'll read the chart of the United States. I know a couple of years ago, we had a really interesting point around the solstice, and a lot of people were looking at that as like a revolutionary time in the country of America. You can read that through the birth chart of America.
Oh,
So we
wow.
can look at the collective conscious that way. And quite honestly, you can read the stars for any birth time of something, a new business, a new phase of life. If you want to do such a thing, that is also a way to kind of gauge where things might go without getting caught in that as well.
Fascinating.
But yes, so we can look at the collective. I mean, so we have a birth chart. So we have, it's called our Rashi, or our D1, or our birth chart. So how the sky looked like when we're born. But we can also look at these collective themes through the way that the sky is revolving through our birth chart. So right now, for example, we have Saturn in Capricorn in the sky. And so collectively, we all have Saturn in Capricorn in our charts, conjunct with the different things that were in the sky when we were born. So a lot of us are going through similar themes. And it makes sense, right? We're all in this together.
Okay, so something conjunct. I want us to go like something where it's like, yeah, got it, but let's be real. Let's pretend that none of us
Totally.
know any of this.
That's awesome. Yes.
Because like I kind of know, but I
Please.
still don't
I
know.
know, and it's so funny, astrologers speak a language. When my partner is in the room, when I'm with other astrologers, I know he's like, I don't know what y'all are talking about. Like, what is that? So, yes, at any time ask me for, like,
Yes, for
what does that mean
sure.
again? But conjunct, yes, that's just basically like two planets are close together. Yeah, they're becoming either enemies or friends, or you know, they're heating each other up potentially, but basically it just means two planets are close.
Got it. And so because of like as you say that, I'm seeing these different planets and like literally like energy fields emitting from each other. So it's kind of like what's happening when they start their auric
Yes.
expressions are
Yep.
coming together.
100%.
Interesting.
Yep. Some planets like to be together. Some planets don't. They're like, you heat me up. You're too hot. You
Yes.
know?
We
You're
all know
making me too
those.
cold and slowing me down. I don't want that. You know? So,
Interesting.
yeah.
Well, and like who do you usually read with? Like who like is coming through your door and how are you helping them?
Yes, totally. I know it's interesting. At this point in my career, I get a lot of referrals. So I've read a lot for friends and as my way of learning. And so now it's been kind of through referrals. A lot of times, because I'm so passionate about it, I'll talk about it. And then people want to know more. People are fascinated. I mean, it could be to anyone and they're fascinated. I mean, you'd be surprised at the people who are interested in astrology that who you think might not be. And quite honestly, how much it resonates. And so I think that's it too. And my goal always is to just guide someone for what would be their highest path and the highest information that could come through at that time. And I'm super aware, you know, I've gone to myself certain astrologers who have planted things in my mind. So I'm super aware of my words being a spell. And being aware of how I present the information that's in front of me to the person that's in front of me.
Totally.
I've been told things that definitely I still think about now.
Same. And
Yes.
that's, where it's one, I'm so grateful to just keep connecting with the certain birds of a feather.
Yeah.
And something that I'm really big on, where sometimes I stop and I'm like, am I being too much of a stickler? As you've read, I can be judgmental, Virgo, Leo, insert all the different things I am. But the
Discerning.
discerning of, because it is such a vulnerable space,
Yeah.
and as the collective is coming online, of like, help me, guide me, help me
Yes.
understand what's happening. There's times where an Akashic Record reading or
Yes.
anything where it's like, it's important that it's really being done in such an integral way,
Yes.
because it can completely skew and change the direction of how life is going.
Absolutely, yes.
Something that I loved, where I was like, oh, I mean, I already knew. I was like, oh, I love this woman.
Oh.
But when we opened with the mantra,
Yeah.
now, you don't have to share exactly what it is and the sounds
Oh,
and things,
yeah,
but
I'd be happy to,
I'm
really.
curious if you would share a bit of like the significance of that and like the art of mantra for you and that coming
Yes.
with the whole Vedic
Yes.
whatnots. Because I remember, like, I love mantra personally, and it just reverberating through, and I could feel it create this protective bubble
Totally.
around the space.
I definitely feel a sacredness with mantra. I really learned quite a bit of that in my Kundalini yoga teacher training. We spent a lot of time working with mantra, and it means more and more to me all the time. And just the very subtle medicine of that. But I do believe, just like you said, it creates a protective energy, and it also gets my human self out of the way so that the divine can come through and really be in this experience. And the mantra that I learned is from my teacher, Will Morris. He is somebody who mentored me, and paying honor to my teachers. And the mantra is, we say it 12 times to bless all 12 houses or all 12 areas of life. And it's Om Guruve Namah, with that idea of Om, to the divine presence, to the divine, the one. Many interpretations of Om. But also Guruve, Guru meaning teacher, that which guides us from dark to light, honoring the teacher within, Nama, the name of, to guide this session. So honoring the teacher to guide this session for the person that's in front of me. And it also just helps me to, feel like the sacred has got my back while we're in session together, and have that divine discernment to know, okay, touch this, don't touch this, or, yeah.
Somewhat of a strange question, but I feel we can
Great,
go
love
here.
it.
Like, I fully understand when you said, like, get my human out of the way. And like, I
Yes.
love when talking to someone, I'll ask a question, I can feel the natural defense that's going to come and say, I don't know. So I
Yes.
ask it, and immediately I go, wait, let's let human exit stage left, and I'm going to
Yes.
ask this again. We're going to let it hit the soul and see what comes up. So I
Yes.
get, but I'm curious of like, what is your experience when you do, when you set that intention of calling into
Yes.
like, what's it feel like for you, and what's your experience
Yes.
of when you let human get out of the way?
Totally. Also, I loved how you
Yeah.
phrased that. So for me, that's a lot about my ego. And it's not to make my ego wrong by any means, because thank goodness for my ego that guides me through this world. But it's to get my human self, my ego self, out of the way for what I want for this person. Also, like how I think this session is supposed to go. And also, a teacher, not having an expectation for the person in front of me, or an expectation for the session, that my expectation might guide it in a way that it needs the divine to actually guide. So it's kind of getting my what I want for this person out of the way, and letting something bigger than me guide.
Love that. And do you feel a difference in yourself, like
Yes.
vibrationally speaking?
Thank you for asking that. Yeah, I do. I mean, as you say that, it helps me to tune into that feeling space. And what ends up happening and how that occurs in my body is I feel much more of like a clear channel. One of my teachers, who I love so much, she's an acupuncturist and a shaman. She'll talk about how the truth feels like a clear breeze. It doesn't stop in the system. There's no like hitches or doubts or something. Like, the truth is like a clear breeze. And that's how that ends up feeling. It's like I get the hitches and the doubts out of the way, and then what feels like truth to me can just breeze through.
Love that. Yes, and yes. It's I had a session, so I'm always doing my own work too. I'm working with an amazing subconscious coach. She was a dear
Oh,
sister, and I'm
cool.
accepted this container, Sarah. And I'll put a link into her stuff in the show notes too.
Yes.
And we were doing a trigger rewiring process yesterday. So
Oh,
cool. First
cool.
time. I don't feel in a space I can teach it yet. I'm still integrating my own process. But a piece of it was then going into the resource. So what is it that I actually needed in that moment, and like the resource of truth that was there. And we tapped into the resource of it, and I let it cascade through me and the vibration of it. And like as you said, I'm like, yeah. And like she was like, on a scale of 1 to 10, how are you feeling? And I was like, 10. Like truth is moving through. Like it's there. It's there. And it's like, it's so beautiful. So I love that. Like, yeah, it's that clearness. I feel that's something we can actually tap into, you know, where it's like, oh, is it moving through? Do I feel
Totally.
light, or is there something hitting?
Yes.
Which I love. Like as you say that, I was like, now there could be a whole, someone's probably done it, but the field of like, okay, can you feel where, at what area of the body, and what does that mean, and
Where
where's the
things get
story?
stuck.
Yeah,
Yeah, totally.
love that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, let's call in someone who's done that study and get them in the seat.
Yep. 100%. Yeah.
I'm curious, how have you found your teachers? I
Oh,
love
great.
Grandmother Moonwalker, one of my teachers. She said to me, listen, the caliber of a student is a direct correlation to the caliber of their teacher.
Yeah.
Who do you choose as a teacher and like to learn from? And I know you speak so clearly and highly of your teachers, and I can feel the
Yeah.
lineages. Like, how have you found your
I
teachers and
know.
like selected them?
Honestly, sometimes I think like past life luck, like blessings, because I've walked like just in walking through life, been very drawn to certain things, and that's led me to certain teachers. I feel really blessed at a very young age, well, 21, which feels young to me. I was guided to go study at the Tree of Life Rejuvenation Center with Dr. Gabriel Cousins. It's in Patagonia, Arizona. And from that, I found him as a teacher, but that was through a book. You know, he wrote a book called Spiritual Nutrition, and it just was like a portal. You know, like certain books can just be portals to opening someone, I feel like, to a whole different consciousness and state of being. And his book was like that for me. And then I realized, like, wow, he is still living and he has a center. I'm gonna go there. So that took a bit of courage and bravery, but also just being young, and kind of just followed that path ever since, you know, where spirit guides me, a bit of a surrender. At this point in my life, though, I'm a little more selective, actually, a little more conscious, and it's certainly a feeling sense now of how do I feel in the presence of this person? Do I feel at ease? Do I feel strengthened? Do I feel challenged in a positive way? So things like that I look for in teachers now. It's much more about energetics.
Love
Yeah.
that. I love the challenged in a good way.
Yeah.
Now thinking of like planetary things of that, like bringing it
Yes.
back into the sky for a moment, like what is a thing of like a challenging conjunction or something that could be going on? You said something
Yep.
like, you know, Saturn return, age 30.
Yes.
I'm thinking back to when I was like 30, or I'm like, that's when I really started to play the space of, I think I really want to be doing music and this and that. Am I throwing away my career? Am I,
Yes.
you know, like, it's everything I've been doing a lot, you know, like all the things.
Yes. What are some challenging
Let's,
placements? That's a great
yeah, like,
question.
and like timestamps of like kind of the human experience,
Totally.
things that we know we're going to come across.
Yes. Well, so what you just said, what you just asked, brought up three things for
Cool.
me. So first of all, we were just talking about teachers.
Yep.
There are two, thinking about planetary types, there are two types of teachers based on planets. There's the Saturn teacher, which is our hard teachers, our teachers that are challenging, the teachers that teach us patience, discernment, structure. They can be our challenging teachers in life. Those are Saturn teachers, and Jupiter teachers are the ones that are expansive, loving, beneficent. You know, these are called Jupiter teachers. So kind of tie in what we were just talking about into planetary types. Now, when we talk about things, placements in the sky and challenges, let's say, for example, Saturn return is one of those that a lot of people feel. I feel as though it's for the first time where a lot of people, I noticed kind of wake up to being more curious about astrology because it can cause challenges. So Saturn return basically is when we are born, Saturn is a certain placement in the sky. So for example, right now, Saturn is in Capricorn. Okay. So in about 27 to 28 years, Saturn is going to go through a person's chart and come back to where it was when you were born. So what happens then is that you get challenged in the way that Saturn might challenge a person, which is putting you on your path. So if there are things in your life that are not in order, if there are things in your life that you're kind of falling off the path or you're not really doing what you're here for, Saturn will make you do what you're here for. Saturn will pull the rug out from under you to get you back on your path. That's how a lot of astrologers will interpret that. Many ways of interpreting it, that Saturn return, but essentially it's that. So for me, for example, in a Saturn return, I had a really big breakup. Okay. And it was totally meant to be. And I'm so grateful for that, because it was a relationship, while very beautiful and had so many blessings to it, was also not the right path for either of us. And we had to go on our way. And so Saturn was teaching us this. That's one challenging, but it can also be a great placement for some, because it can teach them a bit of growing up and maturity, which Saturn is a mature planet. And all of the lessons are here for us, essentially. So it's not something to be scared about. It's like, oh, I chose this. I get to be brave to this. And then depending on what a person has going on in their chart, you know, we can look at different health things. Sometimes people have things in their chart where we see like, oh, your pain is here for a purpose. But right now you might be experiencing a health challenge. And we can look at that and see how, oh, you came into this life to experience this thing to then help others. So that's something that people can perceive as a challenge, let's say, but then later it becomes their greatest strength. Depending.
Awesome. I love it. We kind of like, I love that. I feel we can totally do this where we open like three little pieces and I have like questions on each and we'll kind of keep going. But kind of playing with, I love the teacher of Saturn and Jupiter. And as you said it, I have people in my life come up for both.
Yes.
And is that a space of someone, their chart has them be an embodiment of that? Or is that more just a an archetype, like how?
Both.
Okay.
Definitely both. Like some people just might have more Jupiterian energy in their chart, and then they just might present in that way. And or we do think of the planets as archetypes. You know, all of the planets are like archetypal patterns that we all have, and some more are more strengthened than others. Some are more, let's call it, debilitated than others.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to sit and contemplate on that, where I was like, oh, yeah, they're definitely Jupiter, and they totally switch sometimes, where it's like, but it brings the kind of back that space of the medicine, if you will, of Saturn, that I've had to do a lot of work with, of discipline and structure, this and that, tends to evolve into Jupiter, that expansive opportunities and luck. And seeing how, like, teachers can even kind of go back and forth.
100%, right? Because if we have structure and the things that Saturn bring, then we can flourish and expand. You know, almost like Maslow's hierarchy of need. Oh, I've got my home. Okay, great. Or even like the chakras. Like, I've got my root. Awesome. Now I can go up to my second chakra and play and be creative because I've got that structure down.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
So a question of how does someone use Vedic? Like, how are they, like, okay, I know that that's the medicine that I'm wanting right now. Like, as people know from my course, you are the medicine, and looking at all of this is medicine.
Yes.
You know, like, how does someone sit? They may not have ever had a Vedic reading, so they don't necessarily go to their medicine cabinet to grab it.
Yeah.
But how does someone know?
Yeah.
Like, what's the medicine that they'll be like, yeah, that's, I should take a dose of that.
100%. Great question. I would say if someone is on the path and feeling confused, to sort of see, you know, to bring, oftentimes I hear people say that it brought them a lot of assurance. Oh, I'm on the map. I am exactly where I'm supposed to be. that medicine in my cabinet I grabbed out was like assurance, trust, okay, patience for this. I think a lot of people, especially in this time, I think when COVID happened, I think a lot more people got interested in astrology because it was like, what is going on? And people are looking for interpretations and stories and ways to find guidance. And so I think Vedic astrology can be one way of looking at, where are things headed?
Love that. With that, so what was going on in the skies during the start of
Totally.
everything?
Yeah. I mean, there was actually in Vedic astrology, there were definitely, there's this thing called Rahu and Ketu. I know we've talked about this before, but essentially Rahu and Ketu, these are not actually planets, but shadow planets. And so they're what, when we have eclipses, like when the sun gets eclipsed or has a blackout, essentially that shadow that goes over the sun is one of these nodes. And the shadow that goes over the moon, that's one of these nodes. So these are shadowy planets, and they were very active during the time of COVID. They also represent viruses. They also represent ways like vaccinations and things like this, like these types of medicines. So a lot of astrologers at that time, one astrologer who I love very much, Camilla Sutton. She's an amazing Vedic astrologer. I was following her a lot during this time. But yes, those shadowy nodes were very active during the pandemic.
So without this being a, you heard it first here and holding you to what's going to happen, I'm curious, do you watch like a future forecast of what we're heading into and like what's up happening in the skies for the next few months?
I mean, certainly a lot of astrologers will do these predictive things. The way I do it, I look personally of what's going on. I listen to nature a lot. That's one way I also work with astrology because astrology is the study of the stars. So I think about, okay, how is the study of the stars related to nature, the way the seasons are turning? And I start to put some predictive measures on there. I end up doing a lot of one-on-one where I'm looking at specifically for them, kind of what's occurring. One thing that is occurring is Saturn is in Capricorn right now, which can bring a little bit of it's in a sign that it's like, but it likes, but it can cause a little bit of stuckness and challenge potentially. It'll start to move back into Aquarius soon, which is a little bit, it's still its own sign, but it can bring a little bit of release and relief. But it always depends on the person. Where is it in their chart? So this is where it gets to be very constitutionally based is what I would call it. So I'm always optimistic, and maybe that's the Sag in my chart, but as Sagittarius, I'm very optimistic. But yeah, I feel hopeful.
Love that. I mean, we're going, but I'm also fiercely optimistic by nature as well. And sometimes people are like, good for you. And I'm like, yes, it's great for me. I love my rose colored glasses. It makes life rather beautiful.
Yes, 100%. There's an astrologer who I love. She's a Western astrologer, Caroline Casey, and she definitely feels like being optimistic to the future is also what will bring that medicine to us.
Ashe. Oh, I love that. So a bit of a fun question, and then we'll start to wrap ourselves up. I could keep going forever and pick your brain, and I know we have many more conversations in this realm and beyond. I think it's so fun. You'll do blind reads of like famous people, historicals, this and that. I'm curious of like maybe two of your favorite reads you've done, and like what was your aha? What made it a favorite?
Totally. Oh my gosh. Well, one of those, well, I'll say who it was first, and then it'll make it kind of fun. But one of them, so my partner will cover up the person's name, and I can't really see the date or anything like that, but I can see this person's chart. And so this was for Madonna. And as I was looking through her chart, I was like, oh, there's something around. And I started like pointing to my chest around my boobs. And there's something around like the boobs here. And like this like big nourishment. She had something in Cancer and Pushya, which is around the cow udder. and the way that like we're nourished through
No
milk.
way.
And to me, that was like quite funny because then when I look at her costumes when I'm growing up, it's like all about the pointy boobs.
Yes.
That one, and then actually, I did one. He filmed me on TikTok doing one for Frida Kahlo, and it was fun because it was really just quite accurate. Just like, oh, I think this is someone who's like an artist or painter, and they've had a lot of like challenge earlier in their life with health issues, and so those were my two favorite, I would say, of like
Love that.
blind reads.
That's so fun. Yeah. And we'll do a full like how people find you, but shameless plug, what's your TikTok?
Yes, I don't know my TikTok, but
Amazing.
I do know. I do know my website's ritualprescriptions.com.
Yeah, we'll do a I'll do it at the very, very end. We'll do a and how's
Awesome.
everyone find you? But
Awesome. Yes.
whenever I'm so team shameless plug
Awesome.
and I love doing in different circles and so I'll be like, all right, so let's do a brag circle. Yeah, I think we
Oh,
have such a
that's
negative
fun.
connotation
Oh
on
my
bragging
gosh,
and
right?
celebrating ourselves and our wins.
Yeah.
So like I'm here to like let's reclaim like the shameless plugs and like promoting ourselves and bragging about like what we're doing,
Totally.
like
Yes.
that's why I love
Let's be seen.
exactly. I'm gonna have you ever done a read for Kanye West?
No.
Can we do a read for Kanye West?
Yes.
Amazing. We'll record it somewhere, put a link into the
Okay.
read on like a
Yes.
social media for people can click on that because I would love to
Oh
do
my
that.
gosh.
But there's something in
Fun.
his documentary
Oh,
on
cool.
Netflix that I've always been team Kanye. I love him.
Yes.
And he says in a part of it where he's like doing a talk to like a bunch of middle schoolers or something. And he's like, yeah, like I am confident. I am my biggest fan. He's like, and you have to be because we live in a society that is trying to tell you you're wrong or you need to shrink yourself for being
Totally.
confident. Like, if you're not your own hype man, who's going to be your best hype man? And I
Oh,
was just
that's
like,
awesome.
preach, Kanye.
Yes.
Cool. So we'll do a reading on
I
Kanye, and then
love that.
we can put a
I
link
love
into
that
here.
so much.
And a question of if someone's listening
Yeah.
and they're like, I want to start to explore this.
Yes.
In addition to getting a reading with someone, is there something like a very first step? So I know with Western astrology,
Yeah.
we can just go on and find a chart. Is
Yes.
there like a first step to leading into a call?
Yeah, I mean, some people can look up their own astrology. So you would look up Vedic
Okay.
astrology chart reading. However, it's read very differently.
Right.
So having a guide is really beautiful.
Sure.
I would say also watching YouTube videos of certain teachers. So Camilla Sutton, I mean, she's really great. She's from India. She's beautiful. The way she interprets is really nice. It does take some time. So I really do think having a reading is one of the best ways. For me, that was really a great entry point because someone was there to hold my hand. Because quite honestly, learning astrology for me as well is like learning a new language. It's like learning about the planets and the houses and all of that. Like, it took me a long time to actually even understand what that all meant.
Totally. That's when you had out the chart. I'm just like,
Oh,
what? And then you really blew my mind. You'd be like, well, yeah, then we have this. But then if we wanted to go, and then you had that screen where there was like
yeah.
9 or 12 different, like smaller
Yep.
rectangles of a chart. And I was just like, what did we just open? And I want to know all of it. But
Yes.
holy moly. I hear that.
Yeah.
Cool. So someone listens to this after they go listen to the Kanye West reading. Oh my gosh, there's these two squirrels wrestling and just like having the most loving moment of affection out in the garden right now. And my squirrely mind at its finest. Pun intended. How do people find you? We already did the website, but in
Yes.
other ways for questions or to book a
Yeah,
reading. Yeah.
totally. My website's the best way to do that. You can see I do a couple of other types of services, but specifically for Vedic astrology. And if you're in Austin, I work at a wellness center here called Kuya. It's Kuya. I'm building the apothecary there and working with the wellness and education. So that's another place to find me in person, and a great place to come and visit. It's amazing and incredible what they're doing there.
Yes, it really is such a magical space. And I
Yeah.
walked in, I was like, yes, this is what it's meant to be. This
Yeah.
is where we're heading. So
Yeah.
amazing. Thank you for sharing your wisdom once again.
Yes.
I
Thanks,
truly,
Kelly.
yeah, it's
This
such a
was so
joy.
fun.
Isn't
Yeah.
it great?
I love being
Yeah.
with you.
Yeah. Same girl.
Yeah.
Same. All right, y'all. We love you. We appreciate you. And definitely hit up Meg for questions and getting a reading. And I'm super stoked to go check out the Kanye West reading.
All right, Starshines, that wraps up another episode of Into the Heart Space. As always, thank you for your presence and for your love and for being all that you are. For more information about what we're up to, or if you want to explore working more with me one-on-one, whether that's Reiki healing, learning Reiki, or exploring any other, you know, higher consciousness content that's being pumped out there, feel free to check out at heartspace.co or come over and say hello to me personally on Instagram at I am Kelly Keefe. I will see you next time. And as always, be you, be true, and stay beautiful. I love you so, so, so much. Ciao, ciao.